This is the Josh Hammer Show.
Ron DeSantis, remember him? The guy who just won re-election in Florida by 19.4 points, virtually single-handedly turning the nation's largest swing state, the home of the butterfly ballots and the 537 vote margin back in the 2000 presidential election. The guy who single-handedly turned that state, my state, the state of Florida, into the bastion of conservatism and of deep red Republican politics that it is. Well, he hasn't gone anywhere. Sure, he bowed out after the presidential caucus in Iowa, just on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. So for the time being, at least, his stint on the national stage is done. But he is still doing what he does best, which is win. To govern, to lead, and to win. To win by example, to demonstrate how you score points on the board. And this was a huge week for Ron DeSantis. It was one of those weeks that makes you pause and say, wow, he's really not going anywhere, is he? And the first thing that is worth discussing, Ron DeSantis defeated the Walt Disney Company this week. How many times on this show have we discussed Ron DeSantis' two-year war against the Walt Disney Company? How many times have you had people across the entire political spectrum who have been like, oh, Ron, why are you picking this fight with this iconic American company, which, oh, by the way, is one of the largest employers in the state that you govern? This has been going on for 2 years now. It goes back to Florida's parental rights in education law. The media called it the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill, notwithstanding the fact that the word gay or homosexual was literally nowhere whatsoever to be found in the text of the bill. Disney comes out in favor of sexualizing children. Florida responds by revoking Disney's extra legal immunities and provisions when it comes to the fact that they literally control their own zoning ordinances and property regulations and all of that in Kissimmee in the Orlando area. They have tons and tons of property there. Well, Disney, on the way out the door, before the governorship of that district was handed over to allies of Ron DeSantis, Disney sued. They sued under breach of contract and all these various other state law claims. Now, not to toot my own horn, but I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit, to be honest. I predicted this. I had a column just under a year ago, last April, titled this column, quote, Disney is going to lose again to Florida and Ron DeSantis. And I just showed you why their claims were bogus under basic principles of contract law and things like that. That's exactly what happened this week. They reached a settlement. It's really a settlement in name only. It is a settlement whereby Disney essentially revokes all of their claims. It says that they are no longer going to try to make Ron DeSantis liable and make his board there in the Orlando, Florida area liable to the Disney board in any way. They basically just gave up. They threw in the towel. Disney said, okay, you know what? You win. Our claims were bogus all along. Allies of Ron DeSantis, you can actually wield power there in what is now known as the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, what was previously known as the Reedy Creek Improvement District, going back to 1967, when Florida created those extra legal benefits there in the first place to lure Walt Disney into Central Florida. So a huge win for Ron DeSantis. It is massive, massive egg in the face of those right liberal boomer cons, folks like Mike Pence and Nikki Haley, who just said over and over again over the past year or two, oh man, how could you pick a fight with a private company? Free enterprise. And just spouting all of these platitudes, this eye pencil style Adam Smith revering ultra dorkery, which has no practical impact whatsoever in the real world. You might think that it's pedagogically useful in some obscure highbrow academic lecture. That's not how it works in the real world. Private companies do wield power in their own capacity. There was a brilliant and fascinating long Wall Street Journal article this week on the rise of the so-called conservatives. That would be conservatives who are fans of the trust buster, the FTC chair, Lina Khan, who herself is far left. Ron DeSantis is on the tip of the spear of understanding that concentrated power here, there, and everywhere is problematic, not just in the governmental sector, but very much also in the private sector, in the corporate sector. He has prevailed over the Walt Disney Company. Disney technically still has a federal lawsuit going on when it comes to First Amendment free speech retaliation. They're going to lose on that too. It is a frivolous claim. It's going to be tossed out. Two other wins this week, actually, for Ron DeSantis. It was not just that. That would have been a headline in and of itself. He also signed an excellent piece of legislation regarding squatters. Do y'all see this video? It came up on TikTok. I don't go on TikTok because it's Chinese spyware, but I heard about it. There was this video where this Venezuelan illegal alien who was talking about his plan for, quote, invading a house in the United States. And he says, quote, I found out that there was a law that says that if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it. That video, of course, went viral. And it underscores this problem that we've had rising over the past few years of so-called squatters, which is the idea that you can just go set up camp, set up shop on someone's private property, and you might just possess it yourself. Now, there is a venerable old English common law, property law doctrine known as adverse possession, which began hundreds and hundreds of years ago. That's not what's going on here, though. When we talk about the problem of so-called squatters that landlords are dealing with all across the country, landlords and property owners, we're talking about people who are not necessarily going into vacant or abandoned buildings or property. They're literally just going into houses where someone might be on vacation for a couple of days and just busting in and setting up shop. So DeSantis signs a law that changes the penalty for squatting from a civil to a criminal penalty and makes it such that police can immediately evict the squatters. The so-called squatters' rights movement, hard not to giggle at that one, the so-called squatters' rights movement is up in arms over this. But seriously, I mean, how can you possibly be aggrieved by this? It is a robust stance in favor of private property rights protection, and it is a good law. Hopefully it serves as a model for other governors across the country to sign. Finally, another big victory for Ron DeSantis this week. If you recall, on the eve of the 2022 midterm elections, back then, Florida passed a new congressional map, and they made it such that of the 28 congressional districts in Florida, 20 of them had a Republican advantage, 8 had a Democrat advantage. At the time, this was a stretch because in 2000, in the presidential election, Trump had only won Florida by about 3.3, 3.4 percentage points or so. This was all prior to DeSantis and Marco Rubio winning by almost 20 points in 2022. And a federal court has now upheld a panel of federal judges, because you get a multi-judge panel for Voting Rights Act litigation claims. It's a quirk of federal procedure in court. The panel upheld Florida's map. It is another huge win. In the 2022 midterm elections, thinking back, it was really this map, this 20-8 advantage, as well as Lee Zeldin's coattails in New York State. He lost his gubernatorial race against Kathy Hochul, but he ran such a great campaign that his coattails managed to flip at least 4 seats down ballot in New York, very much in Long Island and the Hudson River Valley. It is those two data points, the Florida map and Lee Zeldin's coattails, that delivered the House and ultimately the speakership to Kevin McCarthy in 2022. Florida's map is now upheld. So a huge week for Ron DeSantis. He is not going anywhere, folks. He is very much still on the radar. There's a lot going on out there, and it is worth saying a quick word about another development that I have been closely tracking, as you all know. Candace Owens is out at the Daily Wire. This happened just over a week ago now in a one-sentence cryptic tweet from the self-professed so-called God King himself, Jeremy Boring, over there at the Daily Wire, a man that I am not exactly the biggest fan of, I think would be an understatement. It's also a 180-degree flip-flop reversal from the so-called God King stance. He said in a November 17, 2023 tweet, quote, Candace is paid to give her opinions, not mine or Ben's. Unless those opinions run afoul of the law or she violates the terms of her contract in some way, her job is secure and she is welcome at the Daily Wire. That tweet did not exactly hold up well, to put it mildly. He literally pulled a 180-degree reversal in the matter of 3 to 4 months or so without acknowledging the fact that he pulled a reversal. But give a modicum of credit where credit is due, it was painfully slow, literally painfully slow. Many of us were beating these drums back in October 2022, back when Candace Owens was defending her pal Kanye West during his pro-Hitler, pro-Nazi phase. We were pounding that alarm right here on the Josh Hammer Show. So it took long enough, but give a modicum of credit where credit is due. They finally managed to get rid of Candace Owens. We do not know the details as to how this happened. Look, if you are a private media company, you are subsidizing that speech. You are a publisher, not a platform. And if you don't like what's going on in that speech, then ditch the freaking person. Again, this should have happened a very long time ago. Candace Owens is an absolutely loathsome and disgusting grifter of the highest order, an anti-Semite out there if there ever were one. I wish her nothing but malice and ill will. I cannot stand her, and I hope that she goes away. She probably won't, but I hope so. But anyway, give a modicum of credit where credit is due for the Daily Wire finally doing what should have been done a year and a half ago and getting rid of this cancer on their staff, Candace Owens.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
That was Chuck Todd speaking on the show that he formerly hosted, Meet the Press, talking to his successor, Kristen Welker, about the fact that Kristen Welker had just interviewed Ronna McDaniel, the former RNC chair, shortly after NBC News had announced Ronna McDaniel was a new $300,000 a year shiny paid contributor. Let me just say that again. That was Chuck Todd saying on air on the show that he formerly hosted that it was a tragedy that his successor had to interview their newly minted contributor because Chuck Todd doesn't like her opinions. Well, are you a cable news outfit or are you Democratic National Committee DNC Pravda? Are you paid by a certain political party or are you trying to give a modicum of balance, a modicum of across the spectrum fairness? Are you even purporting to care about the 75-ish million Americans who in 2020 voted for Donald Trump, who dislike the current iteration of the Democratic Party and hope for something else? It seems like the bosses at NBC Universal thought that they wanted to experiment and bring on somewhat of a slightly different perspective. And then you had this on-air revolt of the talent. Chuck Todd being a prominent example. That was then followed Monday morning by Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, and Mika Brzezinski, that whole clown show. You had Rachel Maddow, the far-left loom bag, sounding off. Rachel Maddow spent a whole half hour of her primetime show criticizing her own employer's newly minted $300,000 a year contributor. Now, the higher-ups at NBC Universal could have decided right then and there to get their own staff in line. What is the hierarchy? What is the corporate structure at this company? Who is calling the shots here? The director of NBC News, the director of NBC's politics department, the CEO, the chairman of the board, who is calling the shots here? Is it the crazy, crazy, merciless libs that you've put on camera? Or is it folks in the C-suite who are actually making the business decisions that involve X's and O's, dollars and cents, and bottom line financial returns? Unfortunately, they completely capitulated. They utterly caved. And within days of the announcement that Ronna McDaniel was hired to NBC News, she was out. Here's the quote from Cesar Conde. He is NBC Universal's news group chairman. He wrote this in a memo, an internal memo. He wrote, quote, "No organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that this appointment undermines that goal." Mr. Conde, do you want to know why your organization is not, quote, cohesive and aligned? Because you have done nothing whatsoever other than hire a bunch of Democratic Party bag-carrying socialists. That is the only one perspective that you show on the air. You know, interestingly, Ronna McDaniel, speaking of this revolt, woman does not exactly come from the insurgent dissident right, from the MAGA camp, the national populist, national conservative camp, anything like that. Ronna McDaniel's name, prior to this, was Ronna Romney McDaniel. She literally dropped the Romney from her name, which is absolutely shameful, if you ask me, dropping your family name out of political calculation. Truly, absolutely shameful. It actually reminds me of kind of a personal note, actually. My grandfather, who has my mother's maiden name, Hurwitz, he was a lawyer for most of his career, and for many years he had, along with his co-partner, he was one of the managing partners of a law firm in New York City. And but this is back at a time of somewhat elevated anti-Semitism, and he refused. He refused out of principle to not have the name Hurwitz in the name of the law firm because he wanted everyone to know that they were dealing with Jews there. He didn't want to attract any clients that might harbor animus. So I speak from some personal anecdotal experience here about the absolute shame of Ronna McDaniel changing her last name, but that's kind of besides the point. The point is that she comes from the Mitt Romney wing of the party. She's an establishment creature. She was also terrible at her job. Ronna McDaniel lost three elections in a row, essentially. She was the RNC chair during the 2018 midterms, the 2020 presidential election, and the 2022 midterms. Literally none of those three elections went anywhere near as well as Republicans thought they would. 2018 should have been a solid midterm year. 2020, they lost the presidential. 2022, the so-called red wave didn't happen. So if anything, the libs at NBC News ought to welcome her with open arms. The fact that she, one, was bad at her job, and two, comes from the quite literal Romney wing of the Republican Party. If you're going to talk to anyone who is a partisan Republican, Rachel Maddow, wouldn't you want to be someone who sucks at her job? I mean, I last checked, you want to win, don't you, Rachel Maddow? You want to kick the Republicans' butts. Well, Ronna McDaniel has pursued, or she has presided over, years now of losing. I would think that would make you happy, to be honest with you. So I carry no water whatsoever for this woman, for Ronna McDaniel. But the whole thing, from a broader perspective, does stink to high heaven and underscores why, according to this Gallup poll from October 2023, only 32% of Americans say that they trust the mass media, the mainstream media, quote, a great deal or even a fair amount. Put another way, almost 70% of Americans simply do not trust the media at all. In fact, according to this poll, the percentage of Republicans who say that they have trust in the mass media, 11%. One of the least trusted institutions out there. And who can possibly blame them when you have stunts like this going on? Look, to the NBC Universal higher-ups' credit, they were trying to mix it up a little bit and to bring on some kind of intellectual diversity. I think that they were trying to do that years ago when they first hired Joe Scarborough to be the host of Morning Joe. Recall that Joe Scarborough was actually a very conservative congressman from the Florida Panhandle back in the late 1990s. He was an NRA-endorsed guy, pro-gun rights, pro-life, opposed to abortion, you name it. He was a conservative. And boy, did he flip, especially after the 2016 presidential election. But how do you capitulate to your own on-air talent like that? You have to show who is the boss. You have to show who is in line. You know, President Lyndon Johnson, not exactly my favorite president, but the way that he would go to Senate, to the Senate locker room, and literally forcibly push these senators against the lockers and browbeat them with his intimidating physical posture and say, "I'm the boss here." Sometimes you need a little bit more of that.
This is the Josh Hammer Show.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
if you are at all like me, you woke up Tuesday morning in a bit of a stupor. Because what happened in the wee hours of the morning, around 1:30 a.m. local time in Baltimore Harbor, was something that I mean, to say that I didn't expect to see that upon waking up would be an understatement. I didn't expect to see that at all in my adult lifetime here in the greatest country in the world, in the United States. A cargo ship, a massive gargantuan cargo ship, bringing down a bridge. Wild, wild stuff. If you haven't seen the video, you're going to have to go ahead and check it out. I watched this thing probably five or six times upon waking up Tuesday morning, just trying to wrap my head around the fact that this could possibly happen in this country, in this year, at this time. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of those old Godzilla movies. Do you remember those movies? The old Japanese films. The Americans started making Godzilla movies. You know, there was that Matthew Broderick film from the late 90s, early 2000s. But the Japanese actually started Godzilla many decades ago, back in the 1950s or so, give or take. And those old Japanese Godzilla movies, you see this gargantuan lizard dinosaur-like hybrid creature, Godzilla, just mowing down entire cities. Just taking his hand or claw, whatever you want to call that thing, and just mowing down skyscrapers. And it was obviously done with like a toy little set, and they made it try to look like it looked like big cities. Obviously, to our modern eyes, we see right through it, and it looks frankly ridiculous. But back then, they were doing the best they can. But that's kind of what I thought about watching the Dolly, this Singaporean flagged cargo ship, taking down the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore this past Tuesday. It reminded me of something just so crazy that like it can't possibly be real. Like it looked like toys, like they were filming the old Godzilla movies on. And because it was so surreal, and also because it was only a few days after the horrific ISIS massacre in Moscow at a theater there on the western side of Moscow that left 140 dead and roughly 400 almost more injured, because of that, many of our minds went a little conspiratorial, like, oh my God, like how did this happen? Really, how? Just how does something like this happen again in the year 2024 in America? And if you were like me, your mind probably first went to terrorism, probably first went to the fact that maybe a foreign power, a terrorist organization, ISIS, Iran, North Korea, whoever, maybe one of them somehow infiltrated this ship and tried to take this down. I saw a lot of other people immediately talking about how maybe it was a cyber attack. Maybe the cyber attack was responsible for the Dolly crashing into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. There were other conservatives on Twitter. Some of them were speculating that the ship's captain and crew were just totally incompetent, that they were hired as a result of affirmative action and the broader DEI diversity agenda. And then I saw some others, and this was kind of the most out there take, maybe. There were some others who were speculating that this was actually just an inside job, and it was an inside job intended to manufacture a crisis that President Joe Biden could then exploit to his benefit in a presidential election year. Here's the problem with all those theories. The problem is that we knew within only a handful of hours on Tuesday, we knew by noon or early afternoon on Tuesday, really at the latest, what had actually happened. The Dolly, the Singaporean flag cargo ship, was captained by a highly trained and experienced local pilot, someone who had at least a decade of experience there in Baltimore Harbor. The permitting required, by the way, for a job of this nature is really intense. Not anyone who knows how to operate a sailboat or a little fishing boat dinghy gets to captain one of these massive cargo ships, especially in highly trafficked urban harbor waters. So he was an experienced captain, and the boat just lost power in a tragic fluke incident, but it was a fluke. They just lost power. The pilot, upon realizing what happened, to his credit, had the foresight to issue a Mayday distress signal, which allowed local law enforcement and highway patrol to scamper then to close off the bridge. And while it is obviously true that we are all made in God's image, every human innocent life lost is a tragedy in and of itself. But trying to contextualize just a little bit here, it is still somewhat remarkable that one of the most traversed bridges in the entire Acela corridor collapsed like a toy, and only six people, as of now, are presumed dead because of it. And even after this explanation got out there, you still saw many folks trying to promote some of these baseless alternative explanation. Now, again, let me give a little credit. I understand the inclination. I really do. We live in a time, we live in an age, where many things that are dismissed as conspiracy theories end up being true. That I will be the very, very first to admit that. Of course it's true. The Wuhan lab leak for the origins of COVID-19 is a very prominent recent example. So is the Hunter Biden laptop. The so-called laptop from hell, to borrow the provocative phrasing of New York Post columnist Miranda Devine. The so-called laptop from hell, which the New York Post was infamously censored. This is the whole Twitter files thing. They're working hand in glove with the FBI, social media to censor that story. A day after that, you had 51 deep state spooks, Jim Clapper, John Brennan, that whole brigade, affix their names to a letter saying that, oh, this is just Russian propaganda. And obviously ended up being 100% entirely true. And the media organizations that subsequently in future years admitted that the Hunter Biden laptop was true, they literally did so in like a buried sentence, 5-6 paragraphs into a story. CBS News was a big example of this. CBS News finally acknowledged that the Hunter Biden laptop story was true in a one sentence buried lead, if there ever were a buried lead. So again, I will be the first to readily acknowledge that many so-called conspiracy theories end up being true. No doubt about that whatsoever. But here's the point. Sometimes, a so-called conspiracy theory ends up being just an actual conspiracy theory. And what I saw this week on social media, in the aftermath of the Dolly taking down the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I saw a window into a side of the internet and social media in particular that is fairly dark. This is a side of the internet where you have all of the wrong incentives, all of the wrong perverse incentive structures for commentators and so-called influencers, basically to just say the most outlandish thing imaginable in order to get attention. Candace Owens, who we were just discussing, the absolute ignoramus that she is, would be a prominent example of someone who uses social media for exactly this reason. Candace was recently talking about how Shmuley Boteach, the so-called rabbi, who's not exactly my favorite so-called, not my favorite rabbi out there, I think would be an understatement, but she was talking about how he was somehow involved in Michael Jackson's death. I mean, insane stuff. Candace Owens is the absolute worst of this. But the incentives are to say the craziest stuff just to get a bunch of retweets, to get a lot of traction and attention. Some people just want to be a contrarian. Many others are just doing it for the lols, as they say, just to get a rise out of someone, to stick it to the man. This is not a victim-free phenomenon, though. When you deliberately mislead people like this, this is how you slowly start the process of turning minds to mush. Critical thinking, basic analytical skills, objective assessment of empirical data, all of this goes out the window. All this goes out the window in pursuit of trying to be edgy or to be a contrarian. This is deeply unhealthy. Indeed, it is outright toxic. And you had to be really online, very online, as they say, in order to fall down this rabbit hole. My advice to you would be, get off your phone. Go outside. Go breathe some fresh air. Go touch some grass. It's good for you. Just this past week, I was out at the Miami Open professional tennis tournament. We went to opening day of the Miami Marlins, the Major League Baseball team here in Florida. I was even down in downtown Miami on Friday. I was filling in on radio this past week here in South Florida. I was working a live radio performance there at a charity day with a pro-homeless advocacy group called The Caring Place. Just get out there. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Pick up the phone and call your grandparents, your parents, your friends, your cousin. Get off the internet. There is very much such thing as reaching diminishing marginal returns on the internet. And this week, when it came to the Dolly and the Francis Scott Key Bridge, really, really underscored that point. Get offline and go touch some grass, folks.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Hammer Time.
Devin Price, a so-called trans man, transitioned, detransitioned, and then transitioned again. Devin Price telling USA Today, quote, "It's not the end of the world to transition and regret it. It's not the end of the world to detransition and then retransition again. It's just sometimes the cost of finding yourself in a world that doesn't want you to." Just the cost of finding yourself, doing irreversible damage to your limbs, to your genitalia, to things that I frankly do not want to think about, to your hormonal structure, permanently, irrevocably damaging the various organs and hormones and glands in your body. This is not clipping a toenail. It's clipping something a lot more important, frankly, than a toenail. Something that you might actually want later in life for its biological and natural function, whether you realize it currently right now or not. You want to talk about finding yourself? Dude, go like camping. Like seriously, like go camping in the wilderness. Go chill with the animals and find yourself there. Go fly fishing. Go for a hike. Go maybe on like a little vacation. Go to the beach. Play a nice round of golf. You don't have to chop off Mr. Winky Wink in order to find yourself. This is a social contagion, period, full stop, end of story. And the sooner that our elites get this message and put a stop to it, the better. The remarkable thing about the United States when it comes to the issue of so-called transgenderism is that currently in America, it is the wild, wild west of transgenderism in a way that not even European countries that are typically to our left are. For example, earlier in March, it came out that the UK, England, is limiting gender transitions for youths, for children in particular there. There are other European countries, especially in Scandinavia and Northern Europe, that have done the same thing. But the NHS right now, the National Health Service, the publicly funded healthcare system in England, is limiting the ability of people younger than 16 to begin a so-called transition. The UK is to the left of America on virtually everything else. And even they have figured out that this is outrageous child abuse, that when you see statistics that 30%+ of Gen Z girls think that they are LGBTQ, that this is not biologically rooted but is pure psychological. The better that our elites actually figure this out, the better. Devin Price, I sincerely hope that you get the help that you need and that you're not going to transition when it comes to Mr. Winky Wink one more time. New York woman arrested for changing locks of her $1.2 million home after squatters moved in. Squatters in New York City are considered tenants after living there for just 30 days. Here's the real kicker. The woman was arrested for unlawful conviction. And a decision about evicting the squatters here could take up to 2 years for the courts to figure out. So this is exactly the problem that we were talking about in the opening segment of today's show, talking about what happened here recently in my state, the state of Florida, where Florida signed this law that would change kicking out squatters from a civil to a criminal penalty and would empower local law enforcement, the police, to just immediately snap their fingers and kick out so-called squatters. Look, there is, as I said earlier, there is a thing called adverse possession. which if there's an unused lot or an easement or something like that, and you set up shop there and no one says anything for whatever the jurisdiction says, 3, 5, 7 years, whatever, then in some instances, when certain conditions are satisfied, then you can actually legally call it yours. That is not what is happening here. A $1.2 million home, and the woman is arrested for trying to kick the squatter out. This is New York City, folks. This is New York City in the year 2024. Eric Adams is mayor. He is better than Bill de Blasio for sure, but you still have cops getting gunned down. RIP Joe Diller, a horrible, horrible story. Donald Trump showing up to the wake of that slain NYPD officer this past week. Cops are still getting gunned down, and women apparently are still getting arrested for trying to kick out illegal squatters from their own home. It could take up to 2 years for the courts to figure it out. My God, horrible. State Farm is cutting 72,000 California home insurance policies. State Farm is blaming inflation, regulatory costs, and increasing risks from catastrophe for this decision. Look, it makes a lot of sense to me, folks. That's a lot of home insurance policies, by the way. State Farm's obviously a national insurer. The cost of doing business in California is just astronomical. And fair enough. I mean, we have our own insurance issue here in Florida. No doubt about that. Part of this, if we're being fair, when we're fair here on the Josh Hammer Show, if we're being fair, part of it has to do with the fact that there are natural disasters. California infamously is on the San Andreas Fault, and there are any number of earthquakes there. And here in Florida, we have hurricanes and flooding and things like that. So we have our own issue here in Florida. But here's the thing. State Farm is saying, they are announcing that the reason that they are stopping to accept new home insurance applications in California has to do with the, quote, historic increases in California-based construction costs and inflation. Presumably, a lot of the reasons for that massive increase in construction costs has to do with the fact that they are organized labor and they are bargaining for more than anyone else can possibly pay there. Also, all sorts of reasons. But the point is that the cost of doing business in California is absolutely obscene right now. That is why they literally ran out of U-Hauls of people moving out of the Golden State in the last year for which we have data. Good riddance to you, Gavin Newsom, you horrible, horrible governor. Elmhurst University in Illinois has a nursing program that's getting a $25,000 racial healing grant. You heard me right. They're getting a racial healing $25,000 grant as part of the Illinois Department of Human Services Healing Illinois program. And this funds racial healing activities and other initiatives to advance, quote, anti-racism. In total, the state of Illinois, the land of Lincoln, is set to spend up to $4.5 million on such grants. I have a novel idea. Let me propose this. If you are a nursing program, why don't you teach, oh, I don't know, nursing? Talk about how to be a good nurse practitioner. Talk about the fact that according to the most basic and rudimentary ethical principles for the medical profession, whether it is a nurse practitioner, an MD, a psychologist, psychiatrist, whoever, that the first thing is to look at your patients as all of God's children, because we are. Genesis 1:27, we are all made in the image of God. Last I checked, it doesn't matter whether, if you are a doctor, whether you should look at your patient differently if he is white or black or yellow or red or purple or green. Who cares? Also, what about me? If we're gonna start playing this game, guys, I'm a Jew. My people have been the most persecuted people in literally the history of the human race. Where is my money? Now, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. I oppose playing that game, but, you know, talk about maybe some healing for the outrageous Jew hatred out there. Some healing for the fact that I can't go to a kosher supermarket or a shul without carrying my firearm and seeing armed police there. Maybe a little healing for that. Again, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but just to make a point here. The U.S. House Office of Diversity and Inclusion is shutting down. So here is Dr. Sesha Joy Moon, who expressed her disappointment at this news in a LinkedIn post. Quote, I've been asked if I'm mad about what happened to the U.S. House Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and the answer is that I'm more so sad. Aw, she's so sad. Dr. Moon is so sad that the U.S. House DEI office is going away. First of all, if you are like me at all, you probably didn't even know that there was a U.S. House DEI office. Why in the world would an entire chamber of Congress have an Office of Diversity and Inclusion on staff? Look, if you are a crazy, idiotic, left congressional office, if you are the congressional office of Illinois Omar or AOC or whoever, any of these other California-based lunatics, if you want to have a DEI commissar on your staff, by all means, go for it. I mean, that is your decision as to how you use your taxpayer-allocated money to pay staffers. Probably not a good use of investment. Your ROI is going to be relatively low in that investment, but whatever. But why is the House, why is the U.S. House, the entire chamber, hiring someone from this right now? And perhaps more importantly, why did it wait until now to get excised from the budget? This probably should have been a day one priority for Kevin McCarthy as soon as he took over the speaker's gavel in January of 2023. I for one, am shocked that I am just hearing about this now. I follow this stuff pretty closely, and I cannot believe that I did not know that the entire House had an office of DEI. Good freaking riddance. And Dr. Sesha Joy Moon, I could not give less of a crap how quote-unquote sad you are. Perhaps you might consider this opportunity for some introspection and try to find a more fulfilling and meaningful career path forward. I hope that you do. Finally, DEI Cultural Spotlight Series is featuring a Ramadan celebration at West Virginia University. The advertisement says here, embrace the Muslim culture and etiquette while enjoying cultural snack packs. Well, I'm not entirely sure what a cultural snack pack entails. If a cultural snack pack entails what the children are learning in Gaza as a result of Hamas teachers and UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, if those snack packs include some pedagogical materials from Gaza-based schools, then maybe those snack packs will include a little lesson on whether and if you slaughter two Jews and three Jews, how many Jews have you actually slaughtered? That's how they teach arithmetic there in Gaza. I don't know exactly what's going on here at West Virginia University with this Ramadan celebration, but I guess we'll try to find out whether it includes some materials along those lines. More to the point, how many Muslims are at West Virginia University? West Virginia University, are you kidding me? I mean, do they really have the need to prioritize something like this in their DEI Cultural Spotlight Series? And as a related point, Ramadan's a whole month. We Jews have our own holiday coming up in a few weeks called Passover. It's a big holiday for us. Even more relevant for most of the listeners, Christians just had Easter, the resurrection. That's a really, really big deal. Is the DEI Cultural Spotlight going to talk about Passover or Easter at all? I think you know the answer to that question. And the fact that you know the answer to that question says everything you need to know about the cancer that is our modern DEI regime.
The Josh Hammer Show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.